unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God, you are great, and greatly to be praised. Our God, you are great, and greatly to be praised. I sing unto you, Lord, a new song. I sing unto you, Lord, in all the earth. I sing unto you, Lord, a new song. I sing unto you, Lord, all the earth. For my God, you are great, and greatly to be praised. My God, you are great, and greatly to be praised. My God, you are great, and greatly to be praised. I sing unto you, Lord, a new song. I sing unto you, Lord, in all the earth. I sing unto you, Lord, a new song. I sing unto you, Lord, in all the earth. For my God, you are so great, and so greatly to be praised. My God, you are great, and so greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. My Lord, you reign. My Lord, you reign. My Lord, you reign. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. My Lord, you reign. My Lord, you reign. My Lord, you reign. Let the earth rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice, and I will be glad. My God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, you do, O Lord. You do reign. You are Almighty God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us of that each and every day of our lives. Every waking moment that we're reminded that our God reigns, that the true God reigns, that you're Almighty God, you're coming soon, you will come again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And I thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and so free. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Oh, your blood, my Lord Jesus. Oh, your blood, my Lord Jesus. Oh, your blood, my Lord Jesus. It washes white as snow. It washes white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your holy name, Jesus. No need for the stones to cry out. I'll cry out, Lord, I will praise you. I'm glad to praise you. I want to praise you. I'll continue to praise you every day and throughout my day. The stones don't have to cry out, and we know if we didn't praise you, even the stones would cry out, you're the Creator. We haven't created ourselves. You're the Savior. We haven't saved ourselves. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we go now to the Word of God, to study the Word of God, we thank you, Lord. It's everything we need to know about life and godliness. Everything we need to know about life and godliness. We thank you. We glorify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. For today, we have a number of different scriptures that I want us to look at, starting with, first of all, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think what has inspired me to share these things today is that I see so many of our Christian brethren that seem to be ignorant of the times we live in. They're disappointed. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are disappointing, but the Lord has not asked for us to be disappointed. The Lord has asked for us to be faithful. And of course, when people are saying, why are they doing this? Last night in a conversation with a dear friend who was coming to know the Lord more and more all the time in a deeper way, I said, do not be surprised that people act in unreasonable ways, because many people are unreasonable, including many Christian people being very unreasonable. So we're going to look at 2nd Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read that whole chapter. Today we have 5 readers, so we'll each read 5 verses. No, we'll each read 3 verses, and the last 2 people can read 2 verses. Then we'll have 17 verses in the chapter, okay? I'm going to start with you, Sean. You read the first 3.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness. I read from 2 Thessalonians, New English Standard Version, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3.
Good.
Okay, in verse 4 from the New Living Translation, he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way.
Okay, and I will read from the New King James Version, starting at verse 8 through 10. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That was the English, I'm sorry, the New King James Version, 2 Thessalonians 8 through 10.
Okay.
Okay, so continuing on, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 or 11 through 13 from the English Standard Version.
Okay, and I'm reading from the Geneva Translation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and keep the instructions which ye have been taught, either by word or by our epistle. Now the same Jesus Christ our Lord and our God, even the Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and good work. I have just read from Geneva Translation, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Actually, 15 through 17. What I just finished reading in the last part of the chapter is what would be called a benediction. That's a fancy theological terminology that we use to we use invocation, we use benediction, so sending people off with a blessing and sending them off with a remembrance. And of course here, comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and good work. Okay, now who is going to do the comforting? Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, even the Father, who have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. He is going to comfort our hearts. Now, the focus of this chapter, of course, is talking about end time things. The revelation, if you will, of the Antichrist. As verse 9 says, even him whose coming is by the effectual working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Of course, talking about the false prophet, the beast, and all these things are not necessarily so clear. There are a lot of prophecy teachers out there that are trying to catch people's attention, and in fact, they may be catching people's attention, but more than that, they're scaring people, because they're not reminding them, we're not really looking for the revelation of the Antichrist, we're looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he is going to come. And of course, before his coming, things are going to happen. We're also exhorted in the beginning of the chapter, in verse 2, that you be not suddenly moved from your mind, nor troubled neither by spirit nor by word. A lot of the things that we're hearing, we're asking, why is this happening? And we're troubled by it. And of course, we know that 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if we're being troubled by these things, then we're not looking at these things the way that the Lord wants us to look at them. There are some things that must come to pass before the second coming of Christ, And of course, there are things that are coming to pass as why people are doing what they're doing, even churches doing and Christians doing what they're doing. And we ask, why are the people in the world doing what they're doing? And of course, in verse 11, where it says, "And therefore God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe lies." And we see a lot of that. I was this week when we taught over in Elliott, Maine, to a group of homeschoolers over there at Faith Baptist Church in Elliott, Maine. Good church group over there. One of the women came up afterwards, one of the mothers, and she said, "You know that in Rochester, on just recently, they had, in the celebration of 9/11, they took down all American flags and they put up rainbow flags. And they had a gay pride parade." And she said, "That is so disturbing. What can we do about that?" And I said, "Well, first of all, you're asking the wrong question. What can we do about that?" Always we need to ask the question, what can I do about that? And you may get an answer from the Holy Spirit that says there's nothing you can do about it. But the idea of we is like, okay, you mean you're going to wait around until you've got a group of people that will agree with you? And then you'll go do something, and maybe that's what's necessary. But I said, you know, there's great power in one person who has a certain belief. And I said, "Do you live in Rochester?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a taxpayer in Rochester?" "Yes." "You own a home in Rochester?" "Yes." "Well, you certainly have status in the community. Not to say that if you weren't a homeowner, you couldn't say something. You live there." But he said, "Who do I contact?" I said, "Well, you need to contact your precinct chairman, contact the mayor of the city, write to Foster's Daily Democrat and put an editorial in there saying, what are we doing? Here's 9/11 and we're taking down American flags to fly a rainbow flag and have a gay pride parade. That is objectionable to me. I don't want to see that." And you'll be surprised how many other people will chime in with you and say, "No, that isn't right." But why are these people doing this? Well, the answer is pretty much here in Scripture, because they've been sent a strong delusion that they should believe lies. They believe that having a gay pride parade and putting up the rainbow flag is a good thing. But see, basically what they're doing is they're blaspheming the name of God. And the enemy and the false prophet, that's of course what we're going to see more and more of. That's why it's happening. Why are these people doing things? Because they're in the hands of the enemy. They're in the hands of the devil. And of course, homosexuality, abortion, and a variety of other aberrant behaviors and so forth are it's blasphemy. But they're under high order of demonic power, because it's a type of anarchy against God's word, against God's power, and so forth and so on. Will it achieve something? Well, it's achieving a certain thing right now. But we're not to be troubled by these things or disturbed, because we need to look at it as the timing of what this is. And the fact is that Jesus will come again soon. Now I want us to turn briefly to Revelation chapter 13. And of course, we go with trepidation in a sense whenever we go to the book of Revelation. And of course, the word revelation in the Greek is apokalyptos, which does not mean that it's not understandable. It means the clearing up. Actually, the word apokalyptos means clearing up. And so when we go here, a lot of people say, "I can't understand it." And of course, the heading on most Bible translations, the revelation of St. John the Apostle, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which in verse 1 of chapter 1, we're going to 13, but I just want to read this first verse in chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done, which he sent and showed by his angel unto his servant John. And so the issue is, and I want to read verse 3 as well, "Blessed is he that readeth, and that they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And so, reading this is a blessing. Understanding this, as the Holy Spirit would teach us, will give us great comfort. And it's a revelation. It's a revealing. And it's an apocalyptos. It's a clearing up. So as we look at chapter 13 of Revelation, and most people will call it the book of Revelations, but it is not the book of Revelations. There are revelations in the book of Revelation, but it's not, Revelations is not the name of the book of Scripture. Okay, so we've got, maybe we'll read through. There's another 18 verses there. So let's go ahead and read through that, beginning at verse 1, starting with you, Sean. And we'll each read 3 again. So that'll be 15. Okay. And then the last two of us will read. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Sean.
What chapter?
Chapter 13 of Revelation.
Coming from the English Standard Version, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. Read from Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 3.
Okay, this is from the New Living Translation, starting with verse 4 in Revelation 13. They worship the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worship the beast. Who is as great as the beast, they exclaimed. Who is able to fight against him? Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. That's Revelation 13 from the New Living Translation, verses 4 through 5.
Okay, and from the New King James Version, starting at verse 6. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name had not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. That was from the New King James Version, Revelation 13:6-9.
Okay, from the English Standard Version, Revelation chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Revelation chapter 13, verses 10 through 14 from the English Standard Version.
Now I'm reading from the Geneva Translation, Revelation chapter 13, beginning at verse 15. And it was permitted to him to give a spirit unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should speak and should cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he made all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that the mark that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath wit count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, we know that there have been discussions about 666. Interestingly enough, the number of this address here is 66. If it had been 666, probably we wouldn't be here. We might not have done that. But the point I want to also make out of here in this chapter, you'll notice that it's mentioned many times about blasphemy. In verse 1, the name of blasphemy. And in verse 6, he opened his mouth unto blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and to his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And so what are we seeing today? We're seeing blasphemy, which in colonial times, blasphemy was a capital crime. Throughout the history of America, for the most part, blasphemy was never taken easily because it's considered a crime against God. And so here we have a situation now where what is it that the power of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dragon, is causing people to do? To blaspheme against God, to blaspheme against his name, of people saying, and I saw a symbol last night that had a collection of every religion in the world in a circle, as if they were all equal, and any old way that you would try to find God would be fine, including humanism and secularism. But see, all of these things are blasphemies against God. And they're blasphemies against Jesus Christ. When people say, you can be saved any way you want, you know, or you can go by some other means. That's a type of blasphemy. And a blasphemy against the tabernacle. You know how there are certain people in certain communities that blaspheme the true church. The church of Jesus Christ is the true church that's preaching the word of God, as being haters and homophobes and hate mongers and all these other things. In fact, much of what is being said biblically these days, there are people who want to make it a hate crime and they want people convicted for it. And of course, we know that the blasphemers want to get into the church and cause further blasphemy, saying, oh, you know, as far as who's going to be in heaven? Well, they're going to criticize anybody who's saying, well, the people that are in heaven are the people that have believed in Jesus and have served him. Have been under the blood of Christ. And of course, you know, when we were first started to read in Revelation about those of the blood of Christ whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I've often said to people, what ink was used to write, if you're saved, what ink was used to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? The ink that was used was the blood of Christ. That's the blood that was used to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not everyone who lives is having their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not everyone who's out there. There are some that are hell-bent, and that's good use of the word, I think, towards blasphemy against God. Blaspheming his name. You know, the name of blasphemy. Okay, and I saw a beast rise, in verse 1, out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And so this Antichrist, the dragon, the false prophet, all that are involved together, this Antichrist, the word Antichrist means not Christ. But he's going to try to imitate Christ. And of course, we've read about him being wounded and then miraculously being healed and being dead and coming back to life. Of course, imitating Jesus Christ in so many ways. And it will, of course, cause everyone to worship him. And of course, will become the ultimate tyrant. When you think of tyranny that we've seen in the world, the tyranny we've seen in the world is all representative of how the Antichrist will try to capture the world, make everybody worship him, make him believe that he's the Savior, but he's the Antichrist, he's the not Christ. And the false prophet will have lying wonders. Now we know that Jesus did miracles, but the false prophet will have lying wonders. It's described, as we just read in here in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 13, talks about that, and also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, talks about those lying wonders. Now, who is going to be deceived by those lying wonders? I hope none of us will be deceived by those lying wonders. I hope none of us will become blasphemers. I hope none of us, I hope and pray, that Christians will stay focused on Christ and not the Antichrist, recognizing that these things must come to pass and that what we're seeing is an open blasphemy in our society. In fact, I'd have to say it this way as an American, disappointing as it may be, that America has done everything that God told America not to do, just the same as the ancient Hebrews or the Israelites. God told them not to do it and they went and did it anyway. Don't make an idol, but they took everything and melted it down and made a golden calf and had Aaron, the high priest, to be involved in that. So America has done everything that God has said not to do. And see, doing what God has said not to do, that is open blasphemy. And unfortunately, many Christians, instead of first and foremost running directly to the Lord with what they need, you know, and it's not to say that there are things in our society that are necessarily not so bad, and trusting in the Lord is the point. And many times if we go running towards things of the world, first and foremost, like for example, okay, you have a health problem, what's the first thing you do? You pray and ask Dr. Jesus what he wants you to do about it before you run to the world for the answer. You know, you have a financial problem, before you run to the world, you go and you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And so the Antichrist is going to eliminate all that kind of stuff. And how is he going to, what's he going to use? I mean, it might be technology, it might be holograms or whatever else, it might be robotic. I don't know. I mean, we have the technology now that, of course, at the time that the Lord gave the book of Revelation through the Apostle John, that nobody knew anything about that. And probably for the first time in the history of the world, there's technology available now that could see these things come to pass. So are we in the end time? Some people say no. Some people say, well, yes. You know, who's going to be the Antichrist? Is he going to be a Muslim? Is he going to be Jewish? I mean, I thought for a long time that probably, because of certain scriptures in Daniel 11, that it would be that he would be a false Jew. He'd be a Jewish person that really wasn't Jewish at all, or that did not adhere to any truth of his fathers. You know, I mean, it could be a Christian, a fallen Christian that's backslidden and become a blasphemer. I mean, it could be a Muslim. We don't know. And see, the speculation on these things engages people's attention too much. And while their attentions and intentions are in that direction, they're not paying attention to the Christ. And so the issue is for us to know Christ better, to know what he's telling us, and in these end times, not to be afraid. And if they're not the end times, whatever times that they are, not to be afraid, but look unto the hills from whence cometh our salvation. And we're going to see some amazing things happen in this time of the Lord protecting his people, the ones who really trust in him. The ones that don't really trust in him, well, what's the Lord going to do about that? And there are many people that trust in the world much more than they do trust in the Lord. And so we don't want to be blasphemers. We're not going to trust in lying wonders and, you know, check everything by the word of God. Is this the Lord's doing or it isn't? And of course, are we surprised that the blasphemies that are out there? I mean, does anybody even use the word blasphemy anymore? That's blasphemy. I've used it. I've said, you know what? The behavior of these people is blasphemy. You see some of the, you know, like the gay pride parades, the homosexual parades and stuff like that. It is nothing short of ugly and blasphemy. And how people could see that as anything but bad is because so many people have been turned over to a reprobate mind. They don't really know what it is to worship God. They don't really know who the true God is. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing that. But in the midst of it, with all this stuff going on, the Lord has put a protection on us. And he continued to protect us, even if it means, I mean, there'll be some people who won't take the mark, and where does this mark go? You think about in the Old Testament, what was called phylacteries. The phylacteries were either a leather thong with scripture in it, put on the fingers, or put on the forehead. And think about this. Everything that you put your hand on, you'd look and you'd see that phylactery on there. You'd see the little scroll inside that leather pouch. Anything you touched, you're touching this with the word of God. You're touching it. It's a reminder to you. Is this really the will of God? Am I doing what the Lord would have me do? And you take your hand back. No, I'm not going to touch that because that's not of the Lord. Or the phylactery on the forehead, because everything, and if you put your finger right now, take your finger and put it on your nose, just like that. And look around at everything around you. Can you still see your finger? That's right, everything you look at, you're looking, in a sense, almost through your finger. Well, that's how that phylactery worked. So that whatever you put your eyes on, you had to look through the Word of God. And so, what does that literally mean? It'd be like saying, okay, I'm going to put on a pair of glasses. And they're not going to block out the Word of God, or as some people used to call putting on rose-colored glasses so you don't see any evil and you don't see any wrong. No, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to put on the glasses that, if in a sense, everything has to filter through the Word of God to get in your eyes. And that's what that phylactery meant. And many people don't know how to do that, or are not doing, many Christians are not doing it, and they're being troubled, and they're being worried, and they're being doubtful. And not to say that, you know, any of us have our weak moments, but the Lord has told us what to do about it. And the Lord is not pleased with his people acting in a worldly manner or seeing things in a worldly way. He's not pleased with that. Why would he be? Because those are all marks and part and parcel of the Antichrist, the dragon, the false prophet, lying wonders. You know, to me, God does miracles, but the devil, as we've read about it, will do certain miraculous things that'll be lying wonders to deceive people. And some people will think he is the Christ and he's imitating resurrection from the dead and so forth and so on, just like Jesus. Only the most astute, and we have scripture that tells us, in those times, if it were possible, even the very elect would fall. What does that mean? If it were possible. That's how strong the delusion and deception will be and is. And we're seeing this all the time. I mean, how can anybody in government who knows anything about what government's supposed to be from Romans 13 be encouraging a gay pride parade and take down American flags and put up rainbow flags and think that's justice or that's a good thing? No, that's a blasphemy. But there are many people that think they're doing the right thing because they're under the influence of the Antichrist. These are part and parcel of that. So we're going to see more of that. But at the same time, we'll also see greater provision for God's people who are really trusting in the Lord in the midst of that. And we look at a key verse, for example, of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Or I think about 2 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because the Lord cares for you. You know? In the midst of all this, has the Lord stopped caring for us? No. And he particularly cares for his people. We look at Galatians chapter 6, for example. Be sure that God will not be mocked. A man is going to reap what he has sown. You sow blasphemy, blasphemy is what you're going to get back. You sow worship and praise, enthusiastic trust of the Lord, going to him first. That pleases the Lord because the definition of sin is not the long list of things that we could look at. And of course, we can see in Galatians chapter 5, for example, the fruit of the Spirit and the unholy, sour fruit, you know, rotten fruit of the enemy. But the issue is that a man is going to reap, a person's going to reap what they've sown. You sow good seeds, what are you going to reap from that? A good harvest. So, I guess if we were to put a title to what I'm saying here today, no blasphemy. Blasphemy is a crime against heaven, it's a crime against God. And we don't want to be part of it. Amen? Amen. Amen.